WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. If indicted, Congressman George Santos was expecting a groundswell of support from fellow Republicans. He was left severely disappointed.
On this vote, the yeas are 311, the nays are 114. With two recorded as present.
House Speaker Mike Johnson making Santos's expulsion official. Her former Supreme Court clerk Eugene Volokh is remembering Sandra Day O'Connor with a smile.
She was a very demanding boss, but also very generous one, and generous with her time and with her insights. I think all of her former clerks remember her with great fondness.
The first woman to serve on the High Court has died at age 93. The truce in Gaza ends with a vengeance. CBS's Lilia Luciano in Tel Aviv.
One UN official called it hell on earth, what has been unleashing in Gaza. According to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry, there are more than 100 people who have been killed today alone.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Rick Essenberg of the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty says he doesn't expect the current maps to change drastically because of non-contiguous islands.
If, in fact, you believe that the maps are a partisan gerrymander, it's not because of the municipal islands. This whole question of municipal islands is a Trojan horse.
Essenberg spoke at a WisPolitics gathering yesterday. Seven labor unions are suing to end Wisconsin's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. Among other things, the unions argue Act 10 is unconstitutional since police and firefighters can still collectively bargain. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man accused of killing a pregnant Reedsburg woman in 2020 and hiding her remains in a suitcase in Chippewa County is now back in Wisconsin. The Chippewa County Sheriff's Office said that Jose Dominguez Garcia was arrested in Missouri earlier this week and was brought to Chippewa County yesterday. The slain woman, Rosalie Rodriguez, was reported missing in July 2020 before her remains were found in the town of Wheaton. Soon, customers at Quick Trip will have the option of self-checkout. Newly built stores will have the self-checkout kiosks installed as part of their design. Quick Trip says that older stores will not be remodeled to include self-checkout and that the self-checkout stations won't replace any human employees. Self-checkout kiosks will be able to accept all forms of payment and handle quick rewards. If you're in the market for a Christmas tree, the DNR says you can find one in the forests of northern Wisconsin. The DNR said that trees can be taken from several state and county forests, as well as the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest for a small fee. Each forest has its own rules for taking a tree, including needing a permit and some location restrictions, and trees taken from state forests are not allowed to be resold.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Bucks lose in overtime in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A surprising loss for Milwaukee. The Bucks made a comeback in the fourth quarter, but Alex Caruso's three-point shot sent it into overtime, and the Bulls win 120 to 113. Adrian Griffin said head coach Billy Donovan had the Bulls ready.
Number one, give them credit. They played extremely hard. Billy got those guys playing with a lot of energy. Well, we didn't do it for the full 48 minutes of the game.
College hoops, big game tomorrow. The Badgers host Marquette at 11:30. The Golden Eagles are ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Everyone waiting to see if Taylor Swift will be in Green Bay to see her boyfriend, tight end Travis Kelce. Gymnast Simone Biles will be there to cheer on her husband, Jonathan Owens, who will be covering Kelce.
Try to get hands on him, but keep your leverage. That's the biggest thing. And just comes down to winning, man, and competing.
That's Packers safety Jonathan Owens. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Part Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of right around 35 this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, will drop to 22. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36 with a few scattered light snow showers late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap, UK.
I heard the shuffle of angels.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. We're going to go in right to the history that's being made as we speak. But very sadly, the truce, the pause, and the fighting in Gaza and in Israel has ended. Hamas started to launch rockets into Israel. And they say that they can't find the remaining hostages that they promised to turn over. There are 137 hostages still being held by Hamas. Hamas, by the way, is a part of Islamic Jihad. It's identical to ISIS, identical to the Janjaweed, Al-Qaeda. They are not trying to do anything for the Palestinians. Their objective is simply a caliphate. But in any event, of the 137 hostages, 117 are male, 20 female, and of them, two are children. 10 are 75 and over. And they say, well, we can't find them. We turned them over to some other group. What, some other group? What, in the tunnels? They're lying. At the same time, yesterday, Hamas murdered three people in Jerusalem. Two of them got out of a car. They penetrated, apparently, and got out of a car and just gunned down a pregnant woman, two others. Sadly, when the IDF came in to get the attackers in the gunfight, another Israeli, really a hero, a kind of a good Samaritan, was killed as well by friendly fire. Now, enough's enough. Hamas has killed some hostages. They killed a 19-year-old woman. They always say they were killed in the Israeli airstrikes. Israel found a video where they were hustling the woman down into a tunnel to her fate with these guys. There's a beautiful picture of a family, a mom and a 4-year-old and a 10-month-old. They say were killed in the airstrikes. They were not. Husband's still there. They're not going to turn him over. So Israel has no choice, in my view, but to eliminate Hamas. Now, you can argue that there are some people negotiating for the Palestinians, like the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. You can disagree on both sides with the tactics of the other side. But what Hamas did is what ISIS did, the sadism. They went over into Israel. They burned people alive. They families, children in front of parents, parents in front of children. The Nazis did that. Nazis did that in Germany and in Poland in the 1940s. They would bar the doors of a synagogue and turn and set it on fire. And, you know, one of the things you have to ask yourself is, why, if Nazis do this, somehow we find that reprehensible. But if non-European Nazis do it, people march in the streets trying to support them and stick up for them. And I think it really comes down to this. Western Europe, Western civilization, our civilization, is held to very high standards. Other civilizations are not. It's as simple as that. Nazi Germany, remember, that's a culture, the most cultivated one in Europe, produced Mozart, Bach, Beethoven. They produced Kant, Hegel, and Nietzsche, Bernard Riemann, Kurt Gödel, and mathematics, the physicists that invented relativity, quantum mechanics. No one was more cultivated. So when they betray that, I think what happens is people are repulsed. But they should be equally repulsed by sadists like Hamas and ISIS, Islamic Jihad. Go to the lines. Ted of Madison. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Ted?
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm just bothered by your slant on the Palestinian side of the conflict. I kind of wonder if you had been born in Palestine, if you'd been born Palestinian, if you would feel the same way about the issue that you do now, or if you had friends who live in Palestine, or in my case, my best buddy from college, his best friend from high school is Palestinian, and his family, extended family, still live in Palestine. I think you would feel somewhat different about the issue than you do now.
Okay, well, Ted, that's a fair call. Let me respond, and I'll give it to you this way. An issue that I feel very strongly about is Ireland. And the IRA, trying to fight off the British, did a lot of things that a lot of people objected to, but they didn't commit sadism. They didn't burn kids in front of their parents alive. They didn't burn parents in front of their kids alive. They didn't do any of this stuff. What I am objecting to is not the negotiating of the Palestinian Authority, Yasser Arafat. Three times the Palestinians were offered a two-state solution. All they had to do is recognize Israel's right to exist, and basically leave it alone, and the hope that there would be trade between the two of them and tourism between the two of them, as there is now under the Abraham Accords with other countries. And each time the Palestinians rejected it, and I understand why. Yasser Arafat was afraid of being assassinated. Anwar Sadat did it, and he was assassinated. So I get it. I totally get it. Palestinians are very fine people. I know people who are Palestinian. I've worked with them. They're very fine people. What has to be understood is that Hamas is not for Palestinians. Hamas is like ISIS. Hamas is like the Nazis. Hamas is fueled with hatred for Jewish people and for Israelis and for anybody they consider apostates. They're like Al-Qaeda. They're like Al-Shabaab. They are like the Janjaweed. So the best thing in the world would be is if the Palestinian Authority were to resume discussions with Israel. And I mentioned in a previous show, there was a very constructive colloquium at the Yale School of Management. The dean put it on, the dean of the Yale School of Management. And they brought in many people who are not only officials in Muslim countries, people from Israel, very prominent Muslim clerics in this country, very prominent Jewish rabbis in this country, experts. And they put together a Marshall Plan that is doable, $50 billion with a B, some of it more than you think of private investment, including a superhighway between the West Bank and Gaza, And that would be the Palestinian state, Gaza and the West Bank, with this highway. And it would require that people on each side lay down their arms, recognize each other's right to exist. But it also has to require that Hamas is dislodged. You can't have that kind of an arrangement with ISIS. You could not have that kind of arrangement with Adolf Hitler, the people who want to kill people. You can't have that kind of arrangement. So I think you may misconstrue or may not understand my full position on this. My full position on it is that the Palestinians are very fine people. Hamas is not their leader. They did vote for them back in 2006, but then Hamas suspended elections, didn't give them a chance to vote for them again. And they're trapped. And you or I could have been born in Zimbabwe, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, North Korea, China, Russia, anywhere else. I get it. My parents hadn't come over from Ireland in the 19th century. I should say my ancestors, not my parents. I would have been born over there. And what would I have done when I was caught up in the troubles? I get it. But there is a difference between sadism, and fighting for your objectives. There's a big difference in that. That's got to be understood. And you cannot overlook what these sadists did on October 7. It went beyond anything that anyone has ever seen other than the conduct of ISIS, as an example. And so responsible people on both sides, and I get it, there are people on the Israeli side who are going to be on the right and so on, but we're going to go to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Well, again, I'm what we're calling, and also within the previous caller, there's one flaw within your plan, and that is both sides agree that the other can exist. Hamas and organizations like Hamas have stated quite clearly and specifically that Israel has no right to exist. That's a non-negotiable. So any plan as far as a two-state solution is never going to happen as long as there's organizations like Hamas. They will just deep-sick any organization because they don't want Israel to exist. Any attempt to try and persuade them, you're going to get, well, what you're seeing now. There's no negotiating with these people. There never will be negotiating with these people. And until they are removed, there won't be peace in that area. Thank you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%, Tom. That was a very good call. And I want to get back and emphasize, there are many, many, vast majority Palestinian are wonderful people. And you're right. If I'd been born there or you'd been born there, you would want freedom. But you know what I would do? I wouldn't commit sadism. And I would sit down and I'd say, all right, I recognize your right to exist. You recognize mine. Do you know that right now there's Israeli tourism in the United Arab Emirates and in Jordan and in Egypt? And there should be, and vice versa. These are very, very intelligent people over there in all those countries, very productive people of high achievement. We need them all. But when you get to Hamas, ISIS, the Janjaweed, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, for instance, their objective is not coexistence, not a two-state solution. Their objective is the murder of other people. And that is something that you can't negotiate with or tolerate. Thanks for calling, everybody. Coming up, there is going to be some very exciting revelations in Liz Cheney's new book. Stand by.
God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There is a blockbuster book that's just been released by Liz Cheney. I couldn't believe some of the stuff in there. Only excerpt so far. You can order it. It's called Oath and Honor, O-A-T-H and Honor, H-O-N-O-R, Oath and Honor. Liz Cheney has said, we are sleepwalking into a dictatorship, and you are beginning to grasp how dangerous it is. Let me give you some of the little nuggets in this thing, You recall when the House of Representatives, about 140 of them, Republicans, voted not to accept the electoral vote certifications by the 50 states. Remember? They weren't going to certify Joe Biden. Fortunately, Nancy Pelosi was Speaker, and the Democratic votes alone were sufficient, and there were some Republican votes, but 140 of them didn't. One of the congressmen, a fellow named Kelly, where he's from, maybe Tennessee, I don't know where he's from. Kelly, bad guy. Anyway, here's what Kelly said. As he prepared to vote to reject them, he said, quote, the things we do for the orange Jesus, meaning Trump, the things we do for the orange Jesus. When she voted, Liz Cheney, to impeach Donald Trump and voted to certify Joe Biden, this guy said to him, to her, you know, having you do that is like me being in a football game and seeing my cheerleader on the other team. What? She's a cheerleader? She was the third most senior person in the Republican caucus. Even the other women who are on Trump's side in it, shouted out, she's not your cheerleader. He and some of the other guys accused her of having a bad tone, not being loyal to the brand. That's what they said, you're not loyal to the brand. And she said, our brand is the Constitution. Magnificent. Our brand is the Constitution. She was talking to another member of Congress, and she said, how could you possibly do what you're doing, voting to not certify the election, voting against impeaching Donald Trump? And he said, I'm afraid for the safety of my wife and little baby. I'm afraid for the safety of my wife and little baby. That's right out of Berlin in 1932. This is America. My entire lifetime, I've seen Democratic presidents elected. I've seen Republican presidents elected. I've seen elections where there are hard feelings. I've never, ever in my lifetime heard or known of an election where a congressman voted against his own conscience because he was afraid there'd be violence against his wife and his little new baby. That we can't put up with that anymore. We've talked a lot about these threats to law clerks, these threats to judges, a lot of other things. He's the one who said that Hillary Clinton should be taken care of by the Second Amendment people, her bodyguard should be disarmed. At his rallies, he used to say, you know, this protester, beat him up and I'll pay your lawyer fees. turn to the press that we're covering and saying, these are the enemy of the people, and Katie Tour and others needed security to walk them to their cars. The Republican Party is injecting violence into our culture and into our politics. Liz Cheney laid it on the line. Read Oath and Honor. We are sleepwalking into a dictatorship. And you take a look at the Republican congressman and senator in this state, Ron Johnson, Gallagher, Van Orden, Grothman, Style, all of these people, Tiffany, all of these people, all of them, they are sleepwalking into a dictatorship. There's a couple of them, quite frankly, I think, are enjoying it and know what they're doing. But every time you enable a guy like Donald Trump, you are helping our country sleepwalk into a dictatorship. Well, a couple of other, not fun things, but very odd little things. Rand Paul. Rand Paul the other day at a Republican luncheon saw Joni Ernst of Iowa choking. Every congressman picks the menu, they rotate. And so she wanted Iowa, it was her turn, Iowa pork. And this is in the Senate, Iowa pork and beef and that kind of thing. And she took too much in and was choking. And he gave her the Heimlich maneuver, saved her life. Rand Paul. I don't much care for Rand Paul. I think he's a traitor to the United States, but I don't much care about Joni Ernst, but I'm very glad that he was able to save her. She immediately shot her mouth off and she said, well, I was choking on all the wokeism that the Democrats are feeding me. An unbelievably weak and pathetic thing to say. She was choking on Trump is what she was choking on. But it came out, and I did not know this. Maybe you knew it. In 2018, Joe Manchin performed the Heimlich maneuver on Claire McCaskill, believe it or not, and saved her, life, Claire McCaskill. Other little factoids, nasty little factoids. You saw that Musk used the F word to talk about his advertisers the other day. People were saying, you know, some of your advertisers, IBM and that, they're pulling their ads because of this Nazi stuff you're permitting on Twitter. And he said, F my appetizer, my advertisers, except he said the whole word. And it just came out that Kevin McCarthy said that to Trump back when he initially turned on Trump before he sucked up to him. He said, F you to Trump. These guys on that side have got to find a slightly more sophisticated way of expressing themselves. It's very, very crude. By and large, it's very, very violent. Very crude and violent. But this Liz Cheney book, I'm going to get it. But to say that she's a cheerleader for the other team, start to support our brand. She has to say our brand is the Constitution. And another congressman saying, I am afraid for the safety of my wife and little baby. And that has got to stop. We cannot elect Trump. Cannot elect Republicans who go along with that. Okay, I see you on the lines. I will be getting to you coming up after a little news and weather. Tommy Tuberville is changing his strategy, and it's not going to work. Do not hang up. I see you on the lines.
Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap.
Civic Media News. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Universities of Wisconsin is defending a controversial email. President Jay Rothman floated the idea of cutting liberal arts programs at some state universities in a message to chancellors in September. The Daily Cardinal student newspaper at UW-Madison obtained the email and ran a story this week. Rothman tells the Journal Sentinel the story mischaracterizes his position. He says a liberal arts education teaches critical thinking and persuasive writing. The secretary of the host committee for the 2024 Republican National Convention in Milwaukee is stepping down. Milwaukee Public Schools cut ties with Gerard Randall's Milwaukee Education Partnership 2 weeks ago. School board members say it isn't clear exactly what the nonprofit did with school district money. It also appears Randall lied about prominent people serving on his leadership team. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A man accused of killing a pregnant Reedsburg woman in 2020 and hiding her remains in a suitcase in Chippewa County is now back in Wisconsin. The Chippewa County Sheriff's Office said that Jose Dominguez Garcia was arrested in Missouri earlier this week and was brought to Chippewa County yesterday. The slain woman, Rosalie Rodriguez, was reported missing in July 2020 before her remains were found in the town of Wheaton. A pair of bills in the state legislature would seek to expand the state's electric vehicle charging station network by deregulating convenience and retail stores as utilities. The bills would also change state statute to allow Wisconsin to receive tens of millions of dollars in federal funding to set up the new electric vehicle charging stations. A crash knocked out power in Mondovi for most of the day Thursday. The Buffalo County Sheriff's Office said a semi hit a utility pole around 10:30 in the morning, which snapped the pole and knocked power lines to the ground. The crash happened when the driver of the semi fell asleep and ran into the pole. It took crews over 6 hours to restore power to Mondovi after the crash. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Bucks lose in overtime in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A surprising loss for Milwaukee. The Bucks made a comeback in the fourth quarter, but Alex Caruso's three-point shot sent it into overtime, and the Bulls win 120 to 113. Adrian Griffin said head coach Billy Donovan had the Bulls ready.
Number one, give them credit. They played extremely hard. Billy got those guys playing with a lot of energy. Well, we didn't do it for the full 48 minutes of the game.
College hoops, big game tomorrow. The Badgers host Marquette at 11:30. The Golden Eagles are ranked third in the nation. NFL, the Packers and the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Everyone waiting to see if Taylor Swift will be in Green Bay to see her boyfriend, tight end Travis Kelce. Gymnast Simone Biles will be there to cheer on her husband, Jonathan Owens, who will be covering Kelce.
Try to get hands on him, but keep your leverage. That's the biggest thing. And just comes down to winning, man, and competing.
That's Packers safety Jonathan Owens. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a high of right around 35 this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, will drop to 22. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 36 with a few scattered light snow showers late tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky and Dick I over hate, Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. UK.
Welcome back to Mathlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. I will get you. Dynamo Dave of Duluth, Minnesota. Your next what's your mind today, Dynamo Dave.
Oh, thank you, Magnificent Matt. Thank you for taking my call. How you doing?
I'm good, Dave. Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, so I was going to say, you know, this George Santos thing, it's kind of incredible that he made it as far as he did in the Congress. It's like a miracle. But it's almost like there's got to be something else operating. And have you ever heard of the law of contrast?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the guy is a crook, and he's a con man, and he cheated, apparently, another Republican congressman and his mother, and they threw him out, and they held on to him as long as they could because they needed his vote. You know, they don't like the guy, and he's not going to win, and so they got rid of him. Kathy Hochul in New York will hold another election in 3 months, and I think former Congressman Swazi will get in there, but... Thanks a lot for calling, Dynamo Dave. I always like hearing from you. Bob of Waukesha, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Bob?
Yeah, I just want to urge all your listeners, all the Wisconsin congressmen, except for Glenn Grothman, voted to keep Santos in Congress. So I urge you to call and write your congressmen and let them know how you feel about it. Mine is Fitzgerald, and, you know, Fitzgerald's kind of like having Trump for a congressman. And just let them know that you're dissatisfied that, you know, that they're willing to put party and politics over country, and that's what they did.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Excellent, excellent call. And that's going to be especially important in the 3rd Congressional District and Van Orden's district, because Van Orden's on shaky ground. I mean, he really is. This is a guy who, you know, cursed out some high school pages, and he uses obscenities and brought a loaded gun into an Iowa airport and all that. The guy is not doing the job. But all of them, in all their races, you're right. That's an excellent, excellent point. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks a lot. You're next. What's in your mind today, Joe?
Hi, Matt. I wanted to return to the story that you had spoken of from a Liz Cheney book, in which one of the representatives, Republican representatives, said that they wouldn't vote their conscience, instead voted to stay in Republican line, basically saying they didn't agree, that they did not accept the outcome of the election in 2020. And they stated as their reason, "I'm afraid for my wife and my baby." I find this amazing. Congress is a workplace. In what workplace are people afraid to do their job? Let's imagine that it's a construction site and somebody's afraid to get into to use this dump truck, you know, that it's going to be blown up. I mean, imagine any other place. Now, how does this person go about stating what they're feeling? Is it just that they feel that there's a threat? Did they actually receive a threat, and how? How would they go about it, Matt, if they were, you know, genuine, if this is true, that they genuinely felt that they, if there's something would happen to their wife and their child if they did not vote lock, stock to what Trump wanted, how would they proceed? Would they go to the Capitol Police to say, you know, you got to put a detective on this, I've received a threat? How, what? I mean, if it's just a feeling, how do they go forward? Well, as a lawyer, when you look at that and look at it as a workplace in which people feel so threatened that they can't do their job, what's the way to proceed? I'd be curious your reaction to it. Looking at it as a workplace, not Congress, a workplace. Thanks, Matt.
Right. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent call as always, Joe. If it were a workplace, and it is complicated because it's Congress is the workplace, but if it were a workplace like a law firm or a construction site or a bank, you'd immediately call the police. They would come and interview the person who was threatened, and then they would give it to the DA, and the DA might very likely would bring criminal charges. Here is the problem. What he's saying is, in effect, he has gotten death threats. He's gotten death threats. Tom Emmer, who was the guy that they initially thought would be the next speaker, remember? And then Trump called him a rhino. Trump said he didn't want him. He got death threats. Tom Emmer got death threats. He's a very conservative, very, very conservative Republican. All of these Republican congressmen have gotten threatening messages that say, whether it's vote for speaker, whether it's anything Trump wants, you better do what he says. It might not be a death threat right away because the guy or the woman hasn't indicated how they're going to vote. The hazard of all this, the absolute danger to our democracy, and Liz Cheney apparently in this book sets it out very well, I've not yet gotten it, is this. Trump has set up a climate of fear. So if this congressman went to the Capitol Police, for instance, the head of the Capitol Police, and said this, they would investigate. But what are they investigating? They're investigating anonymous threats, and they're investigating oblique threats by Trump, who said of Emmer, he's a rhino, he's no good. That's a signal to disturb people to kill him. This is not normal. This is being done in public. So if this were done in a law firm or a bank or a construction site or a school or anywhere, it's reported to the police. Police investigate, do interviews, and refer to the DA. And they should. But this has happened so much. This isn't one person. This is the whole Republican Congress. Remember, the other quote from her book was, quote, the things we do for the orange Jesus, end quote. That was a conservative Republican congressman who might not have voted to go against certification of Biden, might have voted to impeach him. But he knew that there would be anonymous threats. How does a local police department, even the Capitol Police, investigate anonymous threats in many states away? It's a climate of fear. It may very well be that there would be no safety hazard to the wife and baby. But I'll tell you what, Mitt Romney spends $5 million a year on security for him and his wife, and I assume for his kids, even though they're grown. Ted Cruz's daughter said that she can't go to the store without a bodyguard. Now, I don't like Ted Cruz, but I don't like the fact that his daughter can't go to a store, and she's like a middle school girl without a bodyguard. The Federal Election Commission issued some regulations that said it was permissible, it would not be considered income, if a congressman or senator used campaign funds to provide personal security for himself and his family. Now, in the past, if you did that, you would in effect be taking money from a campaign account, paying it for a defined purpose, but it would be income to you. And they apparently, they must have gotten a ruling from the IRS that said this is such a dangerous environment that you can take, you know, depending on the size of your war chest, money and have security. But how pleasant is it to live like that? How there was a congressman down in one of the Carolinas who had a security guard accompany his child to grade school. Well, that's just weird. You know, the other kids are going to note it. The teachers are going to note it. I want to emphasize again, what Donald Trump has done is to create a climate of fear in our government. And it may be that it isn't going to happen to you, and it may be that it is. But if you have a wife, a spouse, and a baby, you are going to err on the side of caution. Some people have dropped out of Congress. So to answer your excellent question, Joe, and we'll go back to the lines. If this were a law firm, a construction site, a bank, or a school, you report to the police, they investigate, report to the DA, any charges. Here, you could report it to Merrick Garland. Wait a minute, Jack Smith's pretty busy. Merrick Garland is not the most dynamic prosecutor in the world. You're prosecuting a climate of fear. It's a climate of fear that they saw in Germany in the 1930s. I never thought we'd see it again here. And we got to do everything in our power to put an end to it. Tim of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Tim?
You were talking earlier about, you know, Liz Cheney, and I'll give her due for that. I think she's done a good thing. But I don't know if you remember when her father was vice president. You ever hear talk of he was promoting this unitary executive theory? Well, maybe that's part of what's playing into what's going on right now. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. The fact is that I couldn't stand Dick Cheney. I mean, he's a guy, he was a slippery guy. And when he ran with George Bush, and I remember in 2004, I should say, and in 2000, I was on Gore's team in 2000, and I was John Kerry's co-chairman of his primary campaign here in Wisconsin. And I didn't trust Dick Cheney as far as I could throw him. And I don't trust, quite frankly, the Republican Party. And I differ with Liz Cheney on many issues. But I have come to the conclusion that Liz Cheney has integrity. Come to the conclusion that she is fundamentally a good person who cares about our democracy and took enormous risk. I mean, she has security. She's gotten death threats. And the Republican Party in Wyoming, for Pete's sake, she's Dick Cheney's daughter. She's number three in the conference. And Dick Cheney supported her. In fact, he went on the floor of the House with her when they were giving her a hard time, because there's a little known rule that says if you ever served in Congress, ever, except probably George Santos now, but ever, you can go on the floor of the Congress right in the middle of speeches. That's why many of them become lobbyists, because they can go places you and I can't go. But we don't have what are called bills of attainder or corruption of the blood in our Constitution. They're forbidden by our Constitution. In the old days, the medieval days, you could be fined or killed for a crime your father committed. Corruption of the blood, bills of attainder, you could be, just because you basically come from bad blood, they could get you. Everybody starts anew in the United States. Most famous example, did any of you ever fly in out of O'Hare Airport in Chicago? It was named after Butch O'Hare, who got the Medal of Honor and gave up his life in the Second World War fighting the Japanese. Butch O'Connor is a hero. They named the Chicago airport after him. Butch O'Connor's father was the lawyer for Al Capone. So we don't have bills of attainder, corruption of the blood. Butch O'Connor could set his own course. Liz Cheney, she's conservative on a lot of things, but Liz Cheney has set her own course. And Liz Cheney has written a book, and she has said, we are sleepwalking into a dictatorship. Dick Cheney never would have said that, but she said it. And she paid for it with her congressional seat. She said it, and she paid for it with her congressional seat. So all I can say is I understand the background, the Cheney family background, but it's worth listening to her. And the January 6th commission, she was marvelous. She is marvelous. She has been unrelenting in attacking the insurrection, the attack on our democracy, and Donald Trump. And she somehow is rising above the climate of fear that I was discussing. Now, she has, I presumably, some substantial means and can have security. But, you know, the only security that's really secure anymore is the president's security. Trump comes close. That's why he shoots his mouth off and scares people, because he has security. He has Secret Service the rest of his life, and so does his wife. He doesn't have to pay for it. And the difference between him and the people he threatens is they have reason to fear. So to respond these excellent calls, there is a climate of fear that is uncertain. You do not know at what time or what place someone will strike. Tanya Chutkan had a woman come to try to kill her because of Trump. The FBI in Cincinnati had a guy with a gun come to try to kill them because of Trump. That has got to stop. Coming up, Tommy Tuberville and Chris Christie may not make the next debate.
The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable.
These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Tommy Tuberville is finally showing signs of chickening out from his treacherous holding up of promotions for our officers and our military. He now said, just said, that he will now just block not every officer, but woke officers, as he puts it. Woke officers. Now, what does that mean? It means the Republicans had finally felt the heat and they were about to vote for Schumer's resolution, give him the 9 votes to override the unanimous consent. So he's trying to salvage from it. Now, who are the woke officers going to be? I would suspect that there will be a disproportionate number of women officers, because he doesn't think they should be, frankly, in the military, a disproportionate number of black officers, and also a disproportionate number of officers whom he thinks culturally are opposed to him. For instance, there's one he wants to hold up who once said something publicly praising Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Well, that's fine. That's what He didn't cite a specific case. He just said, I like her and I think she's a good justice. He's going to unanimous consent her. This cannot be permitted to go on. At one time, he blocked the Army, the Navy, and the Marine Corps from having commanding officers. He's still blocking the Fifth Fleet. The Fifth Fleet in Bahrain, that commander is going to be in charge of the Red Sea, Gulf of Aden, Iran, that whole area, the Houthis shooting at our destroyers. And Tommy Tuberville, a chicken hawk who never served in the military, lied about his father's service, and says he's a white supremacist. The Senate is letting him tell our Fifth Fleet that they're not going to have a commanding officer when our destroyers are being fired on. This has got to stop. It's the whole Senate. The Republicans are with him because they want to embarrass Biden. And apparently, I don't know if they thought this out, but when you're in a destroyer is not a big ship. If it gets hit with a missile by the Houthis, so far they've managed to swat them all down, some sailors are going to be killed. And these fat, lazy chicken hawks in the Senate are playing political games with our sailors' lives. And the chicken hawks in the House are doing it by threatening not to pay them. Republican Party is a nest of treason. Their caucuses are nests of treason. So we'll see what happens. He should not be able to carve out people he thinks are woke. What does that mean? He doesn't know what that means. What he means is if they're not white supremacists and they're not Trump supporters, and they say anything remotely favorable about anybody he doesn't like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he's going to still block him with unanimous consent? So he'll still hold up 50 of them or 20? No way. No way. And the buttercups in the Democratic caucus who ganged up on Al Franken aren't ganging up on him. No way. I'm tired of this crowd. They think they're the House of Lords. They think they're the most exclusive club in the world, all that kind of stuff. I'm very, very tired of all of them. These officers have got to be all confirmed now. Some of them have put in retirement notices as of December 31st. We are losing some of our best officers at the height of their careers with the best institutional knowledge and military knowledge because we have 100 senators who are too lazy and too fat and too worthless to do anything about it. The worst ones are the Republicans, I admit. But for God's sake, get in there with a simple majority, throw out unanimous consent, and if you want to limit it to military promotions, fine. Do it now. Now, Chris Christie, somebody that I haven't thought about much and don't want to think about much anymore. It looks like the upcoming debate in a week or so in Alabama, he's not going to qualify. Why do I say that? Because right now, he does not meet the party's polling requirements. What they require is that you get 6% or better in two national polls, or 6% or better in one national poll and two early state polls, early nominating state polls, which are defined as New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. Christie is at 2.2% nationally. He's greater than 6% in New Hampshire, but he's 4% in Iowa, 3% in South Carolina. I don't see how he makes it. In 7 days or so, I don't see how this guy makes it. Now, the sad thing is that he's the only one who's taking on Trump explicitly, and I think effectively. But he's at 2.2%. He has to be over 6% in at least one national poll, and he ain't going to make it. Or he has to be 6% or more in two early state polls, and he is in New Hampshire, but he's at 4% in Iowa and 3% in South Carolina. So in the next debate, you are liable to see, because Trump won't be there, you're liable to see DeSantis, Nikki Haley, and Vivek Ramaswamy, who just came out with he reiterated his plan that you can't vote till you're 25 years old unless you pass a voting test, a civics test, or you served in the military. What military did he serve in? A guy named Oz served in the Turkish military, ran against Fetterman. Did Ramaswamy serve in the Indian military? I don't think he served in any military. Who are these guys to shoot their mouths off? I mean, who are these guys? Who are these guys? There's a guy that just jumped into the Democratic primary named Senki Uygur from Turkey. He was born in Turkey. What's this all about? Had enough of these guys. Absolutely had enough of these guys. Well, coming up, a lot of news and weather. Another great show, Devil's Advocate. Great callers today, as always. Have a great weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place on Monday. Sign off for today. Don't let me down.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.